is going to be over. People are going to return to their home. 71 years of exile is done. And then Peter talks about how 1,000 years is like a day like 1,000 years, and God is not slow like people count slowness, but God is waiting patiently for us. Patiently, so that we might repent, we might come to understand that God is with us and for us, and that we may turn to God and live. And God's like, I can wait. I'll wait for you. I'm here. This is this incredible image of God during Advent, right? This is our time of waiting and eager anticipation. And it is actually God in Peter who is waiting for us. How lovely is that? While we wait, God waits for us. And the psalm, oh my gosh, we didn't even get to read the psalm today. But it's a faithfulness. Mercy and faithfulness have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. That's what's in the psalm. How beautiful. So all of these wonderful things of tenderness and compassion and gentleness. And then there's John the Baptist. Right? At least in our heads, that's what happens. We get John the Baptist, who is this wild character out in the wilderness, who's calling for repentance. And we have to, every time we hear John the Baptist, well, at least I do, maybe you do too, I hear a southern preacher, don't you? Yeah. Repent now! Save yourselves! Get right with God!
Oh, mercy.
Have mercy! Right? That's the kind, is that what you all have with John the Baptist? That's what I got going in my head. Maybe it's just because I'm from North Carolina. But anyway, but look at Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel doesn't do that, really. John isn't presented that way in this story. John is presented as one who appears in the wilderness, and it's with the same quote that happens in Isaiah. Comfort, comfort my people. A voice calls in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, we're going home. This is this beautiful, tender thing from Isaiah. And Mark uses that same quote, except he makes it just a touch different. Instead of saying, a voice cries, in the wilderness, make a path, he says, a voice cries in the wilderness, make a path. Right? So one is, make a path in the wilderness so that y'all can come home. But Mark switches it a little bit so that it's in the wilderness, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make his path straight. It's like John is out there in the wilderness on the margins, and the idea is that now everybody's going to come out to the wilderness. That's where God is at work right now. So John's out in the wilderness, and he's the voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, and everybody's going out to get him, to be with him. He must have been, I mean, I know that there are some people who really like southern preachers, but I think he's doing something different. I think he's simply saying, turn around. Do something different. The way you're headed isn't going well. Turn. Repent. Y'all know, have someone or something that you keep trying to approach in the very same way? I'm giving you a moment to think about this. Right? And every time you approach them, you try the same thing and maybe even harder, right? So for years I did this with my family, right? Because I knew that ultimately they would understand how right I was and how wrong they were. And so I would just hammer home these things, you know, and every time I went home, it's a big fight. It starts out fine and then ends up in a disaster. Why did I do that? Why did I continue to try to do that? To try to show that I was right and they were wrong? Well, the simple reason is sin. Right? My own sense of ego and my sense that I have to do this in order to change the world somehow. Nonsense, right? So eventually what came down to was, I don't have to do this anymore. This is the kind of repentance that John is talking about. You don't have to do it that way anymore. You try loving people. That's a way to go. Rather than treating them as projects to be changed, love them. Love them into being. Let God take care of all that stuff. And you know, what God did was didn't change them, changed me. Repentance. And I think that's exactly what we're yearning for, because there's so much stuff that just, we keep doing it the same way and it isn't working and it's frustrating us and it's making us angry, and we take our anger and our frustration out on our neighbors. That's what we do. And so John is like, yeah, let's stop that. Come out here into the wilderness, on the margins, see the world differently, and then see what happens when things change, what God has in store. So I have a couple of examples. I told you once before about Chairman Wheeler, who is the chairman of the Nez Perce Tribal Council, and how amazingly, I mean, he's on the margins of society. He's a native person. So many things have happened to the Nez Perce tribes, and yet here he is. He's standing there in front of all of us saying things like, we have a sacred responsibility to save the salmon. We've always had it, our tribe. I mean, it's in our cosmology, right? The first animals that communicated with us were the salmon, and they said, we are connected with you. We don't speak, you speak for us. We can't do this, you do this for us, to the tribe. And he said, and you know, I've known that, and still, when the dams went in, I loved my air conditioning in the summer. And I loved my heat in the winter. So I'm a part of this too. So instead of saying, y'all did this, here's this guy out in the wilderness saying instead, I understand. I'm with you. The decisions that were made. And now, how do we make good decisions in our time? This incredibly gentle voice in the wilderness saying, yeah, come, let's think of ways that we can make this better, how we can change, how we can repent. Beautiful. And what an experience to be with him, right? So he's out there on the margins, and he's just being quietly doing things that are calling people to him. Sounds like John the Baptist. Or Gertrude Williams. Gertrude Williams was the principal of the elementary school that my kids went to in North Carolina. R.N. Harris Elementary School. Talk about the margins. Most of the people in Durham would never even go into the community where that school was, let alone send their kid there to go to school. Right? Just really tough. Violent neighborhoods, drug-infested neighborhoods, really difficult. And yet there, every day, kids from those communities went to R.N. Harris Elementary School. And the rest of Durham would say, yeah, that's the wilderness, all right. You can have it. Well, the truth of the matter is, they didn't know what they were missing. They didn't know Gertrude Williams. We must call her Ms. Williams, because that's the way everybody called her. Ms. Williams, every morning, stood out in front of the school, only one way in. They didn't open the doors to let people in. Everybody had to come through the front. She stood out there, greeted every single kid by name. 300 kids. Every one of them by name. And then, oh, and how's your sister doing? I heard she was sick. So she knew their name, she knew their family, she knew their situation. That stunned. And she would, every once in a while, she'd call one kid to her. Come here. Come on over here now. All right. And she, I noticed because I'd be standing next to her, talking to her, and then she would do this and I'd step away. But she would say to this child, now, we had a tough day yesterday, didn't we? Yeah. Okay. But we talked about it, didn't we? Yeah. Yes, Ms. Williams. And what did we decide? What was the word for today? And the person says, the little guy says, respect. And she said, that's right, respect. That's good, you remembered. Okay, all right, now you get in there and you have a good day. And then come back to me and say, well, his brother got arrested a couple days ago and he's just been a little off. So we had to talk about how to act. But he's going to be all right. Talk about like this incredible sense of the Spirit of God in the wilderness on the margins. And no one wanted to go out there until finally the word got out. People started to hear about Ms. Williams and about R.N. Harris. And in a few years, all of a sudden, it became a magnet school. And now everybody from the whole city wanted to come to R.N. Harris because they wanted that sense of the Spirit. It's beautiful. And so all the kids in that community continued to go there, and a bunch of other people too. It was just like John the Baptist. People from the Judean countryside, people from Jerusalem, everybody wanted to go out there and be a part of this school. Because they knew that there was something that they were missing, something that was important. So, I learned yesterday that the word got even further out, and that Vice President Kamala Harris visited R.N. Harris Elementary School because she had heard about it. Wow. Interesting. So there's John. He's speaking words. He's saying, turn around. Let's do it differently. And people are flocking to him. And he's baptizing them with water. And then, in his humility, he is saying, oh, but wait. You think this is good. There's one who's coming. And I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with a Holy Spirit. And your life will be changed. Your spirit will be different. It will be as if God came into you and dwelt in you. It will not be like that. It will be that. God's Spirit will come and live in your heart. And you will know the comfort and the consolation and the joy and the love God has for you. God will call you by your name, every single one of you. And in the amazing math of God, God will pour into each one of you 100% of God's love. There is no dividing of love. You get 5%. you get 8%. You get 7%. How many percents is that so far? Right?
No, none of that.
100% of God's love for you. 100% of God's love. 100% of God's love for you. God will call you by name. God will empty God's self into each and every one of us. That is the promise. That's what we wait and yearn for. To feel that. To know that deep in our bones. Imagine if we felt that and knew it. How would our life be different? I think that's the repentance, that's the change going in the other direction that John is pointing to. And Lord, even he didn't know the full extent of it. But he bore witness to the one who brings it, who lived it, and now gives it to us. So, repent. Turn around. Be transformed. God is calling you. God is entering into you. Receive the Lord. In bread, in wine, in compassion, in peace, in mercy. In you.